Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order. Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/drinking bros. That is hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Go. Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Welcome
back. Hey, Matt, you know where I was? All the way up. All the way up in the Smithsonian, actually. I just got back from the Smithsonian.
No shit.
What were you doing there?
Yeah, yeah. They hung my, they asked to hang my arm in there after beating you in skee ball.
You're so good.
You know, there was a field trip.
You're still on that.
Yeah, it was in the Smithsonian. My arm was in the Smithsonian for about 2 weeks.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you know, I carried us in the wins before in the team effort, but I'll let you have it, dude. You know? You're almost 50. Are you almost 50? So it's cool, dude.
Matt,
I'm 2 summers older than you. And just because they hung my body inside the Smithsonian so people could see my arm in person.
Your arm is beautiful.
I don't get it. I don't get the jealousy.
I didn't know
skee-ball
was that serious.
Listen, I jack off to your arm. So, you know, it's cool, man. You got a nice arm.
I like to smell your arm.
Well, good morning. Hey, good morning.
You know what else? You're gonna love Rise to smell my arm after we got after our new sponsor.
What?
And that new sponsor is American Oak Salve.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put a little on your hands after you work out. It heals your shit up nice and tight.
Yep.
Get ready to experience American Oak. You can do anything, and American Oak will bring your hands back to life. You want to fist fight Papa John? You bet. Give a cactus an old-fashioned.
Yes. If you're going to fist fight Papa John, which you should,
and
if you ever see
fuck.
That mother, I hope not a single drinking bro fucking listener will go fangirl on Papa John. I hope this is like Baba Booey with fucking Howard Stern. Like, you yell some fucking derogatory shit to that fuckface.
And let's say you knock out Papa John, put a little American Oak Salve on your hands to get him back. It's like a small Venezuelan woman poured her breast milk into a small container and then put it in your hands. Refresh your hands like that Sprite refresh Drake in the studio. You will be complete.
That got me. I love my vacation.
Just go to discount promo code Drinking Bros for $1 off the salve.
I like that.
Go to AmericanOakSalve.com. That is American Oak, SALVE.com. Type in Drinking Bros for 1% off this beautiful Venezuelan breast milk that goes on your hands after fighting or working out.
It's also good for Dick Chafe.
Yeah, it is.
Huge Dick
it
Chafe.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Net and I get a lot of calluses on my dick.
Yeah, you know. He does.
Jerry,
I've
you get none of that. You get
it looks
none
like,
of that.
It looks
Jerry.
Like an old piece of wood.
Why do you guys always have to go gross?
Stop.
You always go gross.
The
because
audience
gross.
Understands that.
No, they don't. So,
you get blisters like you're doing a lot of pull-ups.
Stop.
My dick gets blisters.
I was trying to use it in like a nice manner.
Let's hear it.
So when you sneeze cum over a long period of time, your nostrils get
chapped. Let him finish.
Your nostrils get chapped. And that's what you use it for.
You gotta go to cum. God, I hate cum.
We are 2 minutes in. We're not even through our sponsors.
He hates cum so much, Ross. He won't even cum himself. I don't want to say that.
As he's coming, he's
into a garbage bag.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
you know the last time you came, Jared, it was when that box full of Carnivore Club showed up at your house.
Yeah,
great transition. I love it.
Thank you. They've got just some delicious meats. If you want them in a fucking box, you go to carnivoreclub.co. That's C-O. And order. You type in Drinking Bros. You get 10% off your first box. If you like salami, pepperoni, spicy spreadable pork, the whole shit, they got so many things there. You can satisfy your inner carnivore like you're a little tiny dinosaur. And just enjoy the shit out of yourself. Go to carnivoreclub.co. And then after that, if you want to revitalize yourself, call in the Strike Force.
Strike Force.
Strike Force.
Strike Force. Strike Force.
America. Fuck yeah. Gonna have
Strike Force.
Navy
Fuck
Seal
yeah.
And he used his own blood. Yeah, he combed his hair all nice, combed it to the side. What?
I'm drinking the shit out of it right now. You can pour it in water. You can pour it in any soda. I've got it mixed with vodka right now. It is the greatest energy drink I've ever had in my entire life.
That's a good combo. Vodka and Strikeforce.
And it comes in a packet, so it's not like a bulky can you have to buy. It's not like Monster. It's $10 a box. There's 10 in that box, and for $6, they ship it to you anywhere around the world. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off your box. Your box is there of all of them. They're not gonna say first box. It's all your shit, and they give it to you. And you know who else has got a lot of boxes?
Who's that?
It's a little company called Tartarus Ordnance.
Yeah.
That's TartarusOrdnance.com. They are home defense ammunition.
That's just a box full of freedom. It's a box full of fucking freedom.
That's a box of Second Amendment of.
And they're also dealing arms now. They're dealing weapons, dude. If you need shit, if you need a Ruger, they've got it. They'll find it for you.
They've got the Gats on lock, brother.
Yeah. So, you know, Tartarus is we're big fans of them. We love them. We wish a motherfucker would come into our house so we could use it more.
Wish a motherfucker would.
But, you know, if you don't want to blow anybody away, you can take it to the range and pew, 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 pew.
Pew, 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 pew.
All your shit
awkward out. Awkward silence. You just pew.
That's
you
the first awkward
everybody.
Silence I think we've ever had.
That was a good little awkward silence. We need that
I don't think we've ever had that.
I pewed so hard I spit out my Lead Slinger's whiskey, the greatest, finest whiskey in the land. It's that sweet, sweet brown baby juice that you need to get you through the nights, the long nights. And you know how long those nights can be. And if you don't pick up a copy of At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes written by the funniest writer of our generation, or of any generation, maybe, Mr. Ross Patterson.
Of all time.
Audible.com. I also want to throw a shout out to Drinking Bros Nerds. They're huge fans of the book, and they organize a book club for it. If you read it by June 9th, you can type into to Drinking Bros Nerds and join them. We're going to do a live book club with Drinking Bros Nerds.
They fucking kill it.
Dude, they're amazing. Drinking Bros Nerds are amazing.
Organized out of everybody.
Yeah. Hey, you know what they did the other night, by the way? They live streamed Helen Keller versus Night Wolves. And just to see all the Drinking Bros in the movie, and then I joined in with them, and I watched about half of it with them. Those guys are cool as fuck, man. They're huge supporters.
They're amazing, man.
Yeah, we love them.
Well, if we're going to talk about literature, let's talk about another piece of literature that just got released in the world.
Let's do it.
Let me throw some history on this. I'm actually the first purchaser on Amazon.
You were the first purchaser on Amazon.
Boom!
We have in the studio right now a copy of First Train Out of Denver. By Mr. Leo Jenkins.
Yeah.
And as an added surprise, we have Leo Jenkins here.
Hi, Leo.
Shut the fuck up. Hello, Leo.
Oh, yeah.
Second greatest book that's ever been written.
And just a fact on Leo, 38 countries in the last 2 years you have visited.
A lot of beers in that time, yeah.
And you've also had a beer in all 50 states.
That was a goal I set while I was in RIP, and I actually succeeded in that. I'm smashed right now, and in honor of Drinking Bros.
Yes. There's some things we should know about Leo real quick.
Backstory.
Leo is a close friend of ours.
Yes, he's very close.
He's a former Ranger medic. With that, he's written a few books, Lest We Forget, On Assimilation.
Actually shot the cover for another guy that all of us here knows on the cover.
And they've done very well.
Oh, I love that cover.
Cody,
you shot that, JT?
No. Yes, it's the one of Cody.
A frumpy friend of ours.
A frumpy friend.
Cody Siazza, another one of our studs, Article 15 clothing.
But Leo's a stud. He's absolutely drunk tonight, and that's a good thing because we welcome that. And listen, we're going to assimilate with that, like your book.
Assimilate with me, Matt.
Yeah,
I'm here. I'm going to say something about you, though, man. I follow your – obviously, we follow each other because we love each other. But I love watching the fact that you always find a way to work out. Whatever place, however, and the shots that you take while working out are envious. They're either on the beach or on the side of a cliff.
I sometimes wonder if he actually works out or he just takes photos of him working out because they're so pretty shots.
You make me envious of those kind of raw workouts.
You know what though is he does what a lot of people don't do, and he studied the art of photography, presentation, and being somebody that is heavy on social media, and that's something that a lot don't do.
No, he's
and
it's
this
amazing.
Is something that you guys all did in the beginning.
Yeah,
and you all learned how to do this yourselves.
Yes,
because if you're going to present to the public what it is that we're about or what it is we're going to do, you want to do it in a very artistic way, in a way that engages people and gets them motivated, yeah. or gives them invokes a feeling.
Exactly, but with that,
and he does that.
With that, the fact that we're around it, we do it ourselves, and to be able to see someone else's work and appreciate
yes.
it. You kill it. You
all
kill
your
it.
Stuff. I yes. look at everything that you put up every time, whether it's your Instagram
and your dick pics,
your Facebook,
too.
Everything.
That was just between you and me.
Oh.
I was supposed to mention.
I thought Snapchat was public.
You never between.
Did you,
you and
direct me. Message me? I'm
just us.
I'm sorry. Just the two of us.
You can make it. We try.
Last time Leo was here in El Paso was almost 2 years ago,
and we had a blue label.
He ended up.
There's
he
some
staying,
there's a dolphin
no,
costume.
No, he also bought Blue Label.
We took shots. Think actually, the very first bottle of Blue Label was ever bought from that particular
liquor store.
Yes.
They were like, "What is this?"
And we
I'm
took
like,
we
That's
took
what do you drink when you're not trying to just get smash hammered? But then what do we do with it? We poured it into three different pint glasses of Article 15.
Article 15.
Art 15 pint
we took
glasses.
A picture.
And then the three of us commenced to drinking a bottle of Blue Label in under 15 seconds.
We did.
Yeah.
I wasn't
was
there for that.
Glorious moment.
You were deployed.
You were deployed.
Oh. And then JT, it was your first, and this is beautiful for me, right? Because the book is on assimilation. It's the process of leaving the military and finding your way in the civilian world.
It's my first week out.
It was your day. You yeah. signed out of the Air Force, JT,
that
day.
Day
and yeah. then shot the cover of that book. It couldn't have been more beautiful.
Yeah. And it was an amazing night because you were finishing another. Was it that book you were finishing or another?
I was still writing it.
He's finishing Lest We Forget.
Yeah. Round 2V.
Damn.
It was a good time.
Snap that up.
It's funny
with
the
Cody
epicness,
on the cover.
The epicness of that, because one of the pictures he took that day was a legendary pic of you in with the lighting, because we had the studio set up.
I was drunk. I flew a helicopter that day.
And then we took a picture of you as a drummer.
You flew before you were drunk.
Yeah.
Or something.
You're right, Matt. I wasn't drunk at all when I flew the helicopter.
God damn. Well, yes, Leo Jenkins is here.
We're chilling, Ross. What about you? What you got going on over there?
Man, I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina, missing my Matt Best. You were here for a week.
Why do you always say him, you dick?
You weren't here, Jared. You weren't here. Yeah. So I didn't get to feel your warm embrace, but I did with Matthew. I did with Matthew.
Ross, I was inside of his beach house, and by beach house, I mean butt.
Wow.
Yep.
Right, I didn't know you guys
right,
had
my,
nicknames
right
for
my
it,
b-hole.
Yeah.
Right didn't in my b-hole.
Didn't know you guys had nicknames for it. I see where this is going.
Listen, you have jet time, Jared.
This all comes back to the fuck, marry, kill thing that I'm still mad about.
Yeah.
Well, everybody wants to
marry
a big
poppy.
Everybody wants to marry a big poppy.
Hey, but if you don't mind, because I'm not as – look, for people out there who don't know Leo Jenkins the way you guys do, Leo, how do you distribute all your books, by the way?
Oh, by hand. One by
you
one,
do.
Paperboy status.
It's actually very impressive the way he does it, yes.
Yeah.
I know, and because for the audience out there, there's a lot of people who write in saying, hey, man, I want to be like Leo Jenkins. How does one do that? What is your process when you began it? With your first book, if you could
question,
walk
man.
Us through that process.
I think I've asked
yeah.
this myself. I told you I wanted to be a writer, and you're like, well, just write.
All right, so that's interesting. I'm actually working on a book right now called 10 Ways to Go Nomad. That is the process of no matter what you have, what skill you have, if you want to tell your boss to go fuck themselves and then go live on the beach someplace, I'm working on that right now. I got you. I got your back. That's it. But it's,
how about for aspiring writers? There's a lot of veterans out there that like to write. There's a lot of guys that want to put their story out there. Dude, it's not easy to write a book. Like I've been saying I want to write a book for fucking 10 years. Like, I haven't written a book.
You're a good writer, Rocco.
No, I appreciate that.
No,
but
I've read your shit. I'm not blowing smoke up your skirt tails, but you're a good fucking writer.
I appreciate that. But how do I put together a book? Me talking to you and maybe everyone has in this question that's listening to this, how do I actually do it? How do I actually put the pen to the paper and finish a fucking 150, 200-page book?
For me, it was I never intended on being a writer. I was a gym owner, right? And before that, obviously, I was a ranger medic.
Can I interject there real quick?
Slide yourself into my
if anybody's watching
spaces.
from the old school MBest 11X channel, Leo was nice enough. Actually, the first time we met was you let me film how to work out like an operator at your CrossFit gym. So Leo, and he was in that video as well. The hot, ripped up dude without a shirt, blonde hair dude. So yes, you were a CrossFit gym owner before you became a writer. So I just want to throw that in there.
Thank you for my nipples were hard actually the yes. entire filming. Yes. You didn't mention that though.
It was a good time, man. We got drunk. It was a good time.
No, I never intended on being a writer, right? Like I wrote a story and it got picked up and it went from there. We all have talents, right? Like I'm sitting in a room right now with some of the most talented motherfuckers of my generation.
Thank you, Leo. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I thought it was just that was a me one on there. And
I just took my pants off, and I'm ready to hear them all.
Ross, look, here's the thing. We haven't sword fought in person necessarily, but
hey, if you open up a window, I can reach you from here.
Hey, please. So I know that you are the big dog. In all seriousness, like, these are guys, right, they came out of the most Austrian environments that the world has to offer, right? You come out of war, right? And what's harder than that? Nothing, right? Do what you're going to do. Rocco, you want to be a fucking writer? But you're already a writer. You know why? Because you've already taken the most difficult challenges of your entire life. You've already summited that mountain. You've already done it. Matt's already summited the toughest mountains that he could ever climb. JT, same thing. Right now, this is just cake. Everything that you guys do right now, you guys raised over $1 million to make a movie, and you did it, and you did it fucking beautifully, right? But that wasn't the hardest mountain you ever climbed.
Can I hire you to be my motivational speaker every morning?
Shit.
You know,
I
want to wake up to coffee and Leo. Like,
dude,
it's so smooth
in
my
ear. I'm
going to
sleep tonight. I'm going to build a castle, dude. Yeah. I'm going to break it down and build it again.
Yeah. Yo, fuck that castle. I can build it bigger.
No, but Leo, here's things about you that, like, you've been successful in several different things. I mean, weren't you considered one of the most physical or athletic men in South America, I believe? What's the actual title?
No, I legitimately won the CrossFit Games title for the fittest man in Latin America.
And I love that. They got
in Latin America. The fittest man in Latin America, the white boy.
Dude, so many people got mad at him because he came in there, the white boy, and crushed it. Yeah, you got booed. I know. It was great. I thought that was awesome. Not because you got booed, but like because you got booed. I think it's hilarious.
I'm going to ask for everyone here. You ever been hated for something that you were great at?
Oh,
absolutely.
Of course.
We all are.
That's
every day of my life.
That's how.
Hey, fuck Ross. You and your skee ball, Ross. Fuck you.
Hey, Ross. Fuck you.
I want to hear this. Go ahead.
Hey, Ross and your skee ball, that's how you know you're actually doing something right.
Yeah. I know. That is such a good point. Trust me. Yeah. When 18 men hung me inside the Smithsonian for children to touch my arm and take pictures with it, I knew I had done everything right. In my entire life,
when you're hated, dude, that's, when you're booed for something that you're good at, that's when you know you're doing something real in the world. When you're criticized, that's how you know you're doing something right.
Dude, to touch on that point too, I think that's actually kind of a cool, serious topic to go along with. It's like, whatever endeavor you choose in life, whether it's writing, fitness, business, whatever the fuck you want to do, entertainment, there's going to be haters. It's strictly based off the principle of jealousy, and ultimately, like, you can focus on those haters, and it can bring your energy down. And like early on, like when we were doing our stuff, there were certain people that would say certain things about me and stuff, and I get pretty wrapped up in it because I was like, that's not who I am. But you learn over the time, trying to becoming a successful person is like, fuck those people. The whole reason that I'm successful makes other people hate me. Why? Because they're so fucking lazy. They want to be on your median. They want to be whatever platform that you're promoting your product or your entertainment on. They want to talk shit about you strictly because they're not doing it. Just like the fitness thing. You're winning these games in a foreign country. Well, fuck him. He's white. All this shit. Whatever the case was why you were getting hated on in a foreign country for winning those games, it's like, you're being successful. So it's like, for me and the way I've developed my life and how I look at life, it's like I use when someone's better than me at something, like Ross and Skeeball, I use that the way to go train, right, and make myself better so I can redefine myself as the best down the road. And like, if anybody out there is like trying to be successful in whatever ride it is, it's about resiliency and just becoming like someone that doesn't really give a fuck about the haters, because you're gonna have them no matter what. Whether you could go on fucking Facebook or YouTube, there's a picture of fucking a litter of like 19 puppies and there's fucking hundreds of dislikes, and you're just like, are you kidding me? The puppies, how do you dislike puppies? You know, and so that's the way the world works these days, and just fuck them.
I think
if you got to the point where people are disliking your shit, you
made it
everything right.
Yeah.
Well, you are doing everything
I
want right.
to point out. This just goes back to the beginning of us. Of everything that we've done back, you know, almost 3 years ago now to this point, is when Leo came out here, you know, to me, it was like someone I respected, someone I idolized as a hero, was taking the time at his time to come and hang out with us. And that was a big deal. And if you go back and you look at that, you look at the bragging online of, oh, look who's here, look who we're hanging out with, yada, yada, yada. Why? Because you had taken your story, you had taken everything that you'd experienced, and you had put that out there. And to me, that was somebody up of my highest respect at that point. And I was envious and very well respecting of what you did as an artist and as a writer.
Agreed.
And if you look at that, this is kind of how we've all grown up together in the last 3-4 years. It's like we had brought these guys out, and we were obsessed with the fact that they took time out of their time to come and hang out with us and do stuff with us.
You know,
and it was like I loved it. Like,
you know what's interesting to me sitting here is that you guys haven't fucking changed a bit. You're still, well, you're
drunk
still
assholes. Big, yes,
drunk assholes. Is what I've never once knocked on JT's door. Never. No. I've never fucking knocked on his door. I walked right in every time. We've been buddies since before we even met. Right, and like. We are, it's a family, right? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know, I'm taken aback, right? Like, I'm not a kind of guy that is at a loss for words very often, but I am right now. I'm very honored to hear what he has to say, because I legitimately believe that the guys at this table, like, as smash hammered and stupid drunk as they get on a regular basis, these guys are they're the representatives of our generation, legitimately, and I know that they don't really want that title hanging on their fucking.
Like, well, shit.
Like, sorry, God
damn it! I gotta be.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Sorry,
guys.
Mom.
I mean, no kidding, though.
But these guys are.
But I don't necessarily think it's that specific. I think I'm
hanging out here. I'm hanging out here, and I'm watching what's going on, and I'm seeing guys that they're communicating with the top brass simultaneously. It is brilliant.
But that's the beauty of the Drinking Bros community, and that's why like we like to define it as the Drinking Bros community, because you have the veteran community, you have people that support veterans, and like, or the way of when we first started thinking about what we wanted to do and our end goal of like building this like this cool fucking place where we all have a home was Drinking Bros, and that's why we started the podcast. So it's like, it's not us, what we're doing, but it's ultimately just like a group of people that are doing amazing things and trying to all come together, because a lot of people that are doing fucking way better things that we're fucking doing, they don't really get the accolades and the recognition for it. So it's like, let's build a forum and a median where they can all come together,
let's
support each
stage.
Other. Let's build a stage, and then you can be on that stage. We don't want to be on the stage. Like, we want to be a part of it, but we don't want to be the headliners every time. We want other people to take that.
Dude, what we've done is try to surround ourselves with guys that are successful. And with that is like, we've guys like Leo, guys like Marty, guys like Eli, right? Guys that have been successful.
Not you, Eli. Fuck you. But
guys that have been successful that we're trying to step up our game to them. We're trying to better ourselves to be more respected or kind of feel like we're at their level. And at the same time, they're pushing us to be at that level.
It becomes the biggest resource center. How many times have all of us written to this motherfucker and said, hey, could you take a look at this and tell me what you think?
Yeah.
Hey, could I? I mean, Leo, hands down, wrote one of the best articles I've ever seen written on us ever.
Yeah. No, dude, I love that article.
The way that he had captured it, and the way that he had spoke it, it was not your typical article of just, oh, hey, guess what? This is what these guys do.
Right.
It was here is what my experience was when I went and I lived there.
I was honest about it, too. I didn't pull punches.
Yeah.
Well, you said my dick was bigger than it is.
One thing, too, that a big thing that happened with Leo when he was here with me last is I was supposed to move to Washington.
Yes, you were.
And assume an active job in the Washington Guard. So yes, it'd be just like active duty. And it was sitting in front of him, though. I mean, we were at this brand new Mexican restaurant. We were having Schipino. This seafood soup.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Around 11 o'clock. And I got
With Pilot X? I got the
phone. No, it was just him and I.
Oh.
And I got the phone call of the dude up in Washington that was like, hey, you're supposed to be here tomorrow. This was the day I separated from active duty. I was like, no, I'm not due there for another month until December 2nd. This is November 4th. And he's like, no, you're supposed to be here tomorrow. And I was like, well, let me figure something out because something's not right here. And I hang up the phone. I look at him. I'm like, I think I'm about to just fucking go. I'm about to say, forget it. I'm not going to be in the military anymore. And he goes, go for it. And I went outside and called him and said, hey, I'm just not going to take the job. Go ahead. As of today, I'm separated from the military. I haven't signed your contract
12
yet.
12 years.
So go ahead and throw that up your ass.
By the way, will you please shoot the cover of my new book today?
Yeah. That sounds drastically similar to how when I quit contracting, Jared.
It really is.
Jared had tried to get me to quit contracting for almost, I mean, like, what, a year?
Let me tell you, man, we were talking, like, it'd be nice to have Matt around.
We'd love to have you.
A lot more. Because
I remember being with JT picking you up from the airport, coming back from that gig, and we all had a solo tear rolling down.
Well, the funny thing is,
just be with us full time.
You guys have been working on a book, so I'm not going to spill a lot of the beans on this, but
okay.
The beginning of the company, a lot of people don't realize how we put it together, like how we put some of the videos together, you know what I mean? With
pretty
all
weird.
Of us actively working.
Everybody's in full
actively
wind, like,
full working.
Fucking
JC's like, hey, are you off? Like, no, let's go to lunch. And he's in his uniform. I'm in my uniform. Matt's in his. Like everyone's actively doing shit. Yeah. So the behind the scenes of that down the road in the book that you guys are working on is going to
be so exciting
to hear.
It's a cool story, man.
What a rad ride, man.
But literally, that's the same. That's fucking funny because the same way that I ended up quitting contracting, like Jared tried to get me quit. He was just like, come on, dude. Like, you're past that financially, and I'm super conservative when it comes to financial shit. So kept trying to push me. And then we went out to like Bragg, and we're doing like a Lead Slingers tour to try to get our stuff in there. I woke up, had a good night, we were drinking, and then I got a text from someone down at the organization I was working for at the time, was like, hey, heard you're coming down here, it'd be cool, like, almost like fanboying a little bit, and I looked at Jared, I was like, dude, I don't want to do this, he goes, fucking quit, and I was like, we were driving to Charleston.
Charleston that day.
And I was like, dude, should I fucking do it? And he goes, yeah, call your work. So I call my work and I'm like,
right there.
Hey, and it was like a Thursday.
In a rental car,
and I was supposed to go to my new selection or the selection to requal on Monday. And then literally I was in the car with Jared and I was like, so would I piss you guys off if I don't show up? And like, yeah, it's 4 days out. And I was like, cool. I'm an asshole. I'm not. I'm done. I'm good. And they're like, well, you're probably going to burn this bridge. And I was like, well, you guys have been awesome.
I love you guys.
Touche. Deuces.
Here's the voting.
I was like, I'm good.
I just fucking quit.
Fucking 6 years of my life. You know, it's a hard thing to walk away from. But sometimes that transition.
I walked away from a 12-year military
exactly.
career.
Exactly.
I walked away from almost 8-year fucking United States Border Patrol Special Operations career, dude. Like,
sometimes that transitional piece is like.
I walked away from being homeless to hang out with JT.
Yeah.
Right, so we all make sacrifices.
Hey, Leo, you're goddamn right about that. I walked away from the skee ball match, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, God damn. Listen,
we've all walked away from things, Matt.
Can I ask you a
such
serious
a
question
fuck.
As long as I have you here? Because you're kind of one of my heroes.
That's sad.
Have you never shit in any of these guys' backyards?
Have I ever shit in any of their backyards?
Yes, truthfully.
Yeah, I've stayed with Jared numerous times in El Paso.
So you shit in his backyard. You shit in Jared's backyard. You're a son of a bitch.
I shit in the front yard.
You're a great writer, but you're a terrible human being.
I've shit in the
front
yard.
You're welcome for my excellence.
Yeah, about
you always shit in the front yard.
I like to shit in the front yard.
Here's what happened, Leo. Here's the story you don't know. I show up at Jared's house. There's 28 machine guns in my room that are spilled out all over the floor, like there was a goddamn gumball machine. which is fine. Then there's four dogs in cages that Jared says they can't. They're not allowed out around humans or babies or any other type of animals.
Dude,
they shouldn't have certain types of food.
Did someone put a dolphin helmet on you during this experience?
No, that was you.
That was me.
Well, I won't air that. You know,
air it all you want. There was no machine guns present.
No, there was some assault rifles and their weapons of mass destruction. Is that what they call them?
Is that dicks?
Yeah, boobs.
Boobs are called
tees,
that?
Tees across the board. I'm sorry. I'm talking about
Leo put a dolphin head on and had sex with a morally casual woman.
All right. First of all, the morally casual woman put the dolphin head on me. That's how that happened. And it was in the middle of us having sex, so.
In the spare room, Ross.
Oh, the bed that I've slept in.
The bed you slept in.
And then the sheets have never been washed.
Yeah, never, never.
You're welcome.
I could smell Leo. I could smell Leo when I was there.
By the way, is that
true about the dolphin head, Leo?
Yes, that's 100% true.
That's 100% true story.
I've never had sex
in that
bed.
That dolphin head has been on more people's bodies than Matt has.
She took my Felix the Cat shirt.
You said that Matt.
What?
I said that dolphin head's been on more people's bodies than you have, Matt.
Everybody thinks I've had a lot of sex in my day. I've had sex with two people. That's it. You know, Mel's one of them,
and
his mom. What?
What? I've literally only had sex with two people.
My wife and Jesus.
Yeah.
Actually, every morning I virginize. I don't know what that was bad. I apologize.
So, if we can find the other girl, we're gonna do a Kickstarter to find the other girl who Matt has had sex with.
Yes,
she's somewhere out in the world,
and I miss her, Ross. I really
we should do a video.
She's
a unicorn. We should do a really sad video.
We're a sad video for the missing girl.
I forgot your name. It was in Santa Barbara in 2002. I need you to find me. We met at a Mellow Mushroom.
she did this butt stuff.
Santa Barbara, it was super fun,
you know.
Santa Barbara, Halloween night, you were dressed like a firefighter.
A Mellow Mush.
Gross. That was a guy.
I feel like that's what?
Damn it.
I feel like that's Craigslist missed encounters.
Missed encounters. Yeah.
Yo, dog, saw you at the Target today.
Funny? I love searching those sometimes just to read what the fuck people put.
I read them all. I think it's fucking hilarious.
I love that shit.
It's like,
dude.
Yo, you sneezed in Target. You got embarrassed, but when you walked away, I saw that ass, dog.
You had that
hit me up.
You had that polka dot dress. You get that look when you're buying sausage.
Is it weird that
I'm turned on right now by your voice, Rocco?
Oh, mine?
Yeah, he gets it. He gets it.
I get that a lot.
I get that.
Weird?
No, I get that here.
If there's any drinking bro that's ever, like, even a first date with someone off Missed Encounters or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, I would love to hear that.
I would love to hear that story. Please write us.
I've had a missed encounter.
God
what?
Damn it, Jared.
Absolutely.
Of course he has.
Dude, you could call my ex-wife and prove this.
Of course Jared has this out of everyone.
Because I went, it was when I was in Florida, and I went to a Books A Million to buy a photography book for my wife, she's now my ex-wife.
First wife? Okay, ex-wife.
First wife.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I buy the photography book, and I come home, and I hand her the book. She goes, "We got Books A Million today?" I was like, "Yeah, why?" She's like, because I think there's a mixed connection on Craigslist about you.
Why was she on Craigslist?
Because she just stayed home. She was weird. That's all she did was look at shit.
Dude, that's awesome. Wait,
this was your first wife, Jared?
Yeah, my first wife. So she goes, she reads this thing to me. It was like, you were in Books A Million. You grabbed a photography book. You were in camouflage uniform, and you had dark hair and green eyes. I wanted to talk to you, but I couldn't say anything. And then, but to go even further, she found her on Facebook by searching her email that she used with, or not Facebook, but MySpace. Searching her email that she used for Craigslist, and she
and that's
her up.
Why you're divorced. That's Jared.
That's Jared.
God,
misconnection. You ordered double meat on your sandwich at Jimmy John's. I knew you were something special when you had vinegar all over your hands and face.
Mm.
I knew you were my little Italian submarine.
What are you, Leo's showing us something. What is this?
I don't know.
A poetry contest. Okay. Yeah, I feel like you'd be the one guy to have a misconnection story.
I will call Jennifer tomorrow and I'll record her giving the story to you guys.
This is a really weird segue. But
wait, Jennifer, your ex-wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that her name?
Dude, Ross.
Jennifer.
Interesting.
Ross, I got to put this out there. And Jared, we were in North Carolina, who his ex lives there, and then his beautiful daughter, who, how old's Maddie now? Or Madison?
11. Madison's 11.
11.
Yeah.
Dude, she got in the fucking wind tunnel, and whoever has kids out there, I could not have been more impressed. She goes, I've never been in like the free fall wind tunnel. She jumps in this fucking bitch, and the second she gets in there, the guy lets her hands off, and she is turning. She's
fearless.
It's
I don't get it.
Fucking insane, dude.
I was thinking that she would get scared going up, and she didn't. And then so I signed her up for the youth league there, the tunnel youth league. And so she had her first meet today. She got 30 minutes of tunnel time today, and she fucking killed it.
Dude, he was like second time in the wind tunnel. And I don't know if anybody else has been a wind tunnel. I've been a wind tunnel quite a few times. I suck. And like the guy's pointing up for Maddie to go up. She's flying to the top of the thing and coming down. It's super impressive. So shout out that Jared actually has some pretty awesome, what is it called, offspring?
Yeah, she's cool as shit.
Where was this wind tunnel at, by the way?
It's in Fayetteville. Fayetteville,
North Carolina.
Oh, right on.
I would have been in the wall in the first 3 seconds of that.
Dude, I hit the wall. Yeah, fuck that.
Like, honestly, 4 years in Ranger Battalion, multiple combat deployments, all this garbage. I would have been in the wall.
We don't free fall.
We don't free fall. I consider myself to be an athlete, and I have a background of not being a punk ass bitch. However,
right.
She kind of made me look like a punk ass bitch in a YouTube video.
Same here.
I would have been in the wall in probably 3.5 seconds. She's like controlling her fall, like everything, complete composure.
She's gonna be jumping, man, like a stick.
Yeah, she's treating you like Tom Petty. She's free falling.
I can't wait. If I can get her in that tunnel for a year. And then put her on a fucking team, like that's future. Like you get a 12-year-old fucking doing fucking.
She's gonna jump out of the plane and be like, I'm all the way up.
I thought you were saying future like the rapper.
Oh no, God.
He sucks. Stop, Rocco.
Rocco, I heard you're gonna fight Stitches. Is that true?
I would actually fight him if he was willing to. But
here, that's a weird story. Let's make that. What would be? So you want to fight Stitches?
I'd fight Stitches because I think he's kind of a douchey dude, man.
You would knock him out so quick.
No, I know.
How much money do you think it would take for Stitches to step in a ring with a guy like you? For him.
You know what?
I don't know.
He would probably put some stupid fucking price on it because he's a fucking
bitch. About this? If Stitches, I'll put $25,000 if he steps in the ring with you. If he wins, he gets that money. If he loses, he just gets knocked out.
I'll match that right now, 25.
Boom! That's 50K, Stitches.
I'll match it.
You fucking bitch.
I'm not
joking. But if you win, you're just Rocco. I expect you to win.
If I win, I get a hot gator and a handshake. I should win.
Yeah.
Rocco, if you win, I'm going to shake your hand. That's it.
Thank you.
I'll buy you a shot.
That's your prize.
All right, so I'll match this as well because I've got someone I want to fucking call out. I will give Robert Rodriguez $50,000 if he can outright me on Machete Kills Again.
Oh, he's back at it.
By the way, I'm on fucking day 132, 132 days in a row. I have tweeted at Rodriguez on Twitter for me to write Machete Kills Again in space, and that motherfucker hasn't even hearted it. Well, he hasn't even pressed like heart.
Ross, I've been working on that. Let me tell
you.
Yeah, dude. So here's a cool thing. So me and Rudy Reyes, obviously Rudy Reyes is real tight with that whole group. And we've been getting in cahoots about some other couple projects that we might be trying to work on. So I'm actually on an email list right now. And he's not on it, but his brother is. So I'm finagling that way as well as my father's working on Luchador Underground.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's the medic for that.
Yeah.
And it's actually Rodriguez's fucking show.
Boom. There we go.
So it is. It's his show on his network, dude.
Exactly.
Because I'm on day 132, not even a heart back of like, oh, I heart you. Like, you know, not even a retweet, nothing.
Ross, I need to know this. So we obviously know Rocco wants to fight Stitches. That's well apparent.
Mm-hmm.
I want to fight Kanye West. That's been well apparent throughout the podcast. I want to know who you and Jared, if you could pick a celebrity person that you hate so much that you would just step in a ring and swing blow to blow. Not necessarily you might win, just like you're willing.
Papa John.
Ooh, that'd be great.
Papa John. And then
he's like
lately,
three times your
it's been
age.
Shanae
though.
O'Connor. I know you shouldn't hit a woman, but Shanae O'Connor.
What did she do? What did she do?
Oh, God. She lost her shit again. She said that Arsenio Hall killed Prince and that he supplied him with drugs for years. She went missing, And the police had to go and fucking find her today because she was suicidal. She was missing for like 48 hours. They found her. To me, it's just a waste of police, like, fucking units. Just let her off herself and let's be done with it.
So, Jared.
So, wait. Here's the beauty of that, by the way. Arsenio Hall filed a lawsuit against her.
Good.
And is suing her for millions of dollars over that thing of saying that he killed Prince. Yeah, so she's getting the shit sued out of her right now. That's why I think she tried to kill herself.
Love it. Jared.
Yeah.
Jared, who would you fight, Jared?
Who would you fight, Jared?
Do you fight?
Does it have to be a celebrity?
Who?
It's got to be something that the audience would know.
And yeah, it can't be like Carnival Dave down at the Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, or like a Matt Paso Best, Lyons. A washed-up YouTube celebrity who's a fucking douchebag.
It can't be Gandhi. Okay, it could be Gandhi.
No, I just don't like – I'd fight Hillary Clinton.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I think people know who that is.
Yeah.
So I think you're good.
I mean, I just – she's a bad person.
Would you body shot her? I feel like you wouldn't hit a girl in the face. You just body shot her.
No, I'd hit her right in the face because I'd love to see her go
calling
down.
Out all the over the is, future.
And it's
prayer.
Not it's not about all the bullshit. You look at
he's on one. I love this.
You look
love
at so after we did the political episode, somebody sent me the transcripts of a bunch of quotes from sheriffs. And security details that add quotes actually out of her mouth, where a sheriff that was assigned to her detail said, good morning, ma'am. And she goes, your job is to do nothing but stand here and make sure nothing happens. I don't have to fucking talk to you.
Yep.
Like, that is the reason why I want her to fucking go down. Like, I hope a fucking Gulf Stream just sinks into the fucking mountain. Because that person doesn't deserve to be alive.
FBI, like, hey, if you're listening.
Hey, Jared, you know whose name's going to be on the side of that Gulf Stream?
Whose?
Donald J. Trump, dude. All the way Trump.
I'm all the way Trump.
All the way Trump. Right now, he's ahead in the polls if they go head-to-head.
I'm just saying. I don't get people that support her because I don't think they know anything about her. And if you really do the research on everything that she's done, everything that she's been investigated for, every time the fact that her and her husband have a fund set up for their legal fucking, like their
insane.
Legal defense and things, people that went after her when Bill Clinton was president.
International donations.
They were literally investigated by the IRS. So it's like, I don't understand how her and Bill are this Teflon couple because it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense that they can do this much shady shit and still get away with it.
Well, I think we talked a little bit in the podcast. Did we talk about like Secret Service and
yeah,
her friends?
That's what I mean. They're like they hate.
Like a lot of her friends who've been Secret Service, like the shit that they've said about that whole. The Clinton administration, when it was Bill, is insane. It's absolutely insane. Shit that you would think that it's written in a fucking book. And the fact that this is a potential candidate, well, the primary for the Democratic election, is insane. That's you. That's you. That's you, JT.
I don't understand. I would love to meet somebody that loves this person and
he
then go.
Meet.
Do you
Let's
know?
Meet up.
Yeah, I want to meet somebody that says, hey, I'm a diehard Clinton fan. Okay, do you like good people? Like, or do you like people that treat...
I feel rant Matt going
she
on.
Has a giant,
here he comes. Here he comes, ladies and gentlemen.
She has a giant track record of treating people below her like people that are below her. Well, treating them like peasants. Treating them like shit.
Wait.
It's like...
I want to hear what Matt go for it, dude.
No, I'm good. I'm
I
good.
Just... I want to know because I was watching. I don't know
the anonymous thing. Remember?
No. Well,
Jared, does this mean you're all the way Trump?
All the way.
Are you gonna?
Despite my 3 years studying politics at Purdue, I'm new to this game. But I think there's an app for that where you can maybe lure Clinton supporters in and then just talk to them.
Tinder? It's called Tinder.
It's called Tinder. You have to right swipe them. There's an app for that. And then you can have all the
I just
that.
I like, would love I would love to hear from somebody
honestly,
because
I
don't
want,
know what their argument is going to be. Like if they're like I think she's a strong woman. Yeah, but she's rude.
Okay,
and
so
she's mean.
Oh, God.
Like
Matt can't contain himself. I can hear it in his voice.
Matt's trying to take the muzzle off.
Matt can't contain himself.
Take it off,
Matt. You're very intelligent, dude, and I love hearing what you have to say.
No, I'm not going to be intelligent now. All I was going to say is this, man. Like, I am not a very politically intelligent dude. I don't follow politics that closely. But at the end of the day, when you watch the whole reason and premise of why people vote for specific candidates, it literally wants me to fucking hit. Like, remember that bitch that got hit in the head with a shovel, that white trash?
So good.
That's what I want to do to people, because it's like they're not even running for like one facet in their life that they believe in, right? Like, hypothetically, I'm going to vote Republican every time because I'm super pro-gun, right? That's what I believe. It's my every my hobby, everything I believe in. And then people don't even fucking do that. They will seriously fucking vote for a Hillary person because she's a fucking female.
Here's what I don't understand.
But I would love to see a fucking female president. Yeah, if she's
the president of eBay.
If she's a competent fucking person, that's all it comes down to. Not someone that's a fucking cheat, a liar, and has an administration of the last, literally a political career of the last 25 years that is like the fucking worst shit you've ever seen. And it's not even like people are blaming this on her or saying these are like, you know, oh, you might be this person. It's proven.
Here's what doesn't make sense to me, though, is you watch these videos of Hillary rallies. And someone in the crowd will bring up Benghazi, and the entire crowd boos. Like, isn't that a warning sign of, hey, why are you all booing every time someone brings up a failure? Like, why isn't no one going, hey, maybe she fucked up? Or, hey, why are we all just going to move this person out? It doesn't make sense to me. It's like, and even then, I want to see somebody that has an I don't know what that argument is. I want to hear it. I want to hear the argument that says, I want Hillary for this reason. Because at the end of the day, anybody that says that
really
they have
no
a
good reason.
Anybody that says they have a reason, it's like, do you like rude people? Do you like mean people? Because you are in the middle, the lower middle class. She would treat you like shit if you met her. Like,
it's a shitty election this year, and you know, people always ask me, and Ross always fucks me, right? Trump, all the way up.
Trump.
All I have to say is, I will never vote for Hillary. You know, and that's. I would hope people that listen to take a look at it. So
you're saying
Johnson
for Donald J,
the headman of a weed company.
I'm actually
the Libertarian Party.
But that's the thing, dude. And God damn it!
the hippie.
There he is.
Oh, you invited one of your hippie friends on.
Ladies and gentlemen,
No. I'm actually gonna be. I'm gonna be a pro.
I saw
that
graphic the other day that said. That had Democratic, Republican, and then Libertarian, and it had all these issues. And the Libertarian had said, we leave you the fuck alone on everything. Like,
dude, that's but that's the thing. So it's like
the Libertarian Party is the most legitimate party in our country right now. However, the representative for the Libertarian Party is the least legitimate person that we could put up there. Don't put Johnson up there. The guy is weak under question. That's just my personal opinion.
Hey, 2020, listen, Evan Hafer.
Yeah.
Evan Hafer
for president. Why? Because that motherfucker was in an organization.
Dude,
I had a lot of insight.
I will vote for Evan Hafer three times in the next election, and that's no bullshit. I will break laws to make sure that guy is an elected official.
He's worked for all these people, to include Hillary Clinton and General Petraeus.
Yeah.
And you know what we're going to run on in 2020? We're going to run on increasing
fossil fuel.
No.
We should increase fossil fuel.
We're going to make America
burn it
great
all
again,
off so that we can come up with something better, because that's what Americans do. We destroy all the we destroy it, and then we can figure out something better. That's what it is.
We're
destroy
run,
fossil fuel. Burn up
it's going
fossil
south.
Fuel.
Yeah. It's going south.
We're going to run on stricter punishments.
No,
did you guys see the UFC?
Fuck you.
Burn up fossil
fuel. I'm going with them.
Fuck
burn
you.
Up, burn all the gasoline, and then we'll come up with something smarter than that. But that's what
in 2020, we are running on stricter punishment for child sex crimes. You know why?
I like that.
You know why?
F-350 parked right
because
out here. I'm working for the country.
Too many of our friends. I have a question to say that. Is it going to make Rock a legal? Because he calls me daddy.
No, too many of our friends that are working inside the Department
you Big
of
Poppy,
Justice
though.
And everything are telling us how the child sex laws and everything are so just scaled down that you're talking about 5 to 15 years that these guys are facing.
We're just going
to
create our own suicide squad, and we're going to fuck shit
that's
up.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah.
We're running on that.
Yeah.
2020.
We are.
We're murdering pedophiles.
Yeah.
I'm in. Hey,
we're going to create an entire military division of 2,000 people that are dedicated to just murdering pedophiles.
If you're sick fuck, we're coming for you,
Leo, I'll put this out there, and we'll calm this conversation down, but... literally, like, I think what politics is, and understanding across how you live life, and this is a super hippie perspective that I actually have in life. I'm like a very conservative but hippie at heart. I truly believe that, like, most issues and conflict happen because lack of understanding and lack of just pretty much just people are so they want to believe what they believe, whether they're raising and what they've been entitled to, and that's it. Like, they're not open to new understanding and new ideas. And it's the same thing when it comes to, like, marijuana, right? Like, I'm a huge, huge proponent for fucking legalizing marijuana. Why? And if there's listeners out there that talk shit on that, I don't give a fuck, because if you look at, like,
into the 1920s, anybody that wants to talk shit about that.
But no, I'm not even worried about
the government made the decision, though, in the 1920s as to what was going to be okay and what wasn't.
But let's look at contemporary society, veterans, right? You have so many people that have all these crazy issues with whatever emotional, whatever you want to define PTSD, that's a whole different conversation, but, like, ultimately, like, people prescribe these insane medications to these fucking dudes that, like, they're just having a tough time in their life, and they need to break through that, right? It's a transitional period or a medical issue like cancer or whatever the case is. But, like, THC has been proven to, like, be, like, one of the most powerful drugs in pain management, hunger control, all this shit that just, it helps people. Yet you have these lobbyists for pharmaceutical companies that are restricting the THC and, like, letting guys actually get these prescriptions, and veterans, like, why the VA doesn't do it. And they're getting these antidepressants. They're, ask me the last time a dude blew his head off when he was fucking high. And that's, like, where I go to. It's like, let's start looking at the proactive approach to saving lives and benefiting, like, happy, continuous life, because that's what we all want, right? We want our brothers and sisters to enjoy life. The whole reason that we sacrificed what we did and why we joined the military was, like, we want a society where our kids or family, everybody can grow up and, like, be happy. That's, I don't know what the fuck else way to say it.
I want to talk to you about this,
man. So it's like,
if I was following the VA protocol, I wouldn't be here talking to you on this.
A lot of us wouldn't, dude. Seriously, when I went to the VA and they were checking me out for if I was going to get disability. I never wanted disability. And they're like, okay, you've been in IDs. Yeah, I've been blown up a couple times, all the shit. And they were like, okay, well, we want to give you these medications for TBI and this antidepressants. And I was like, no, I'm good. Like, I just want Ambien because I can't sleep. And they're like, no, we want to put you on all this shit. And I was like, no. But they were almost throwing it down my face, where it was just like, if back then, like, hey, it's legal for you to smoke some weed or something or whatever the
not
case.
Not just legal, but socially acceptable.
Socially, like, acceptable.
You went to a career that was mutually beneficial for not just myself, the country, right? Like, you contracted. What you did after that, right, was just as altruistic as anything that you ever did in the military. And we don't really see it that way. But had you partaken in a plant,
I could have never got hired.
You never would have been hired, and you never would have been on that job. But you would have been able to sleep better. You would have been able to cope with those things better. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all. However, it's a lot better than psychotropic drugs as far as the – no one's ever really killed themselves on pot.
And I think that's, like, the way you have to view life is, like, there's a lot of opportunity to open your eyes to, like, new ideas, things that we necessarily don't agree with on face value, but they make sense. It's a rational perspective on life. And ultimately, like, you know, I try to, like, rationalize with certain people, like, this whole transgender bathroom thing just doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. You're a bunch of fucking idiots. So, like, if you look at things, you have to value them and see what, like,
one thing I'm saying is we have a systemic breakdown. And where I'm going with that is let's just take, and is just like what you're just saying about the marijuana thing, let's take all the money that's raised every year for cancer research. That's a huge category. How many millions of dollars is that? So for the last, let's just say for the last 10 years, everybody that's raised money for every type of cancer, raised money for nonprofits, charity, everything, you would think at this point, when we finally broke the code and said we have a cure for cancer, is that not owned by the public? Is that not if all this money that was donated and pushed in by nonprofits that cured this cancer, is that not free to all of our citizens?
It should be. But you know, and you can talk about capitalism and all that shit, but we'll end this conversation here and I'll make a very intimate representation of what I'm talking about. My cousin, he is an amazing kid. He's 22. He's been fighting cancer for about 18 months. Leukemia. He's terminal. He's gonna die within probably, I don't want to say that in the podcast, but very soon. So he's a fan of what we do. I'm flying out next weekend to go screen the movie with him and stuff. And I can't imagine what it's like for him in his life right now, because this dude is a legit badass. He's been fighting for so long and he's stayed positive. He's active duty military still. But the fact that like he's having severe nerve damage right now where he can't feel his feet and hands, try to get the military to prescribe him some fucking marijuana or something other than a prescription drug just to let him like eat and be happy and get away from those fucking pain. They're not going to do it. You're active duty military. And it's like, you're fucking with his betterment. You're fucking with his life. It makes me go insane. Cause he's like, what a good kid. Like this kid would have been better than anything I ever did in life. Yet it's a tragedy. And, it's unfortunate that we have a society that like can't think outside of the box in certain issues where it drives me insane. And, anyways, I'll make him whether or not we're going to the Drink Bro of the
Let's
week.
Do it.
But
let's do it.
Yeah,
we are. Let's do it. Let's
go
do it.
For
yeah.
it.
And Riley, go for it. Go
yeah, ahead. Riley McClurg, man. He's my cuz. He's an awesome kid, and you know, I hope there's a miracle and we can fucking work through it. But cheers, if man. Not, dude, you'll always be remembered, and we got your back, dude. You're a fighter, dude. You've never not wanted to fight one fucking moment of your life. So cheers to you, brother. Cheers.
Fuck. Cheers, man.
Hell yeah.
Cheers, man.
Oh.
You're still a bitch, cheers. Though, Riley. I got you. Rear naked that ass when I see you next week. Yeah.
Matt rear naked me once.
We were naked though.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, you were just yeah behind him.
We went from like dick jokes to like political quick.
And then I'm telling you what, that drinking that drinking bro of the week, you know, your cousin,
my boy, man.
That's a hearing stories like that are just like God
I'm excited
damn,
that
I legit this is how cool he is. He was like, man, I really want to watch Range 15. I was like, okay, I'll fly out. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it cures cancer. And he goes, I hope so. I was like, God damn, man, you're crazy. Oh,
I was kidding, but shit.
Yeah, God damn it, God damn it.
I love
he's
that.
He's such a cool kid, man.
We were in the same boat last week.
Yeah.
Jamie had tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. That's life, dude. You know, everybody gets so
sad
absorbed
and get to see it.
He's enjoy life, man. It's fucking God quick, damn. Dude. Life's quick.
Yeah,
It is. And on that note, thank you for listening once again to all the drinking bros and broettes out there. For Mr. Leo Jenkins, our special guest.
Ross, will you or will you not sign a copy of the greatest book that's ever been written for me?
I will. You enjoyed the book, didn't you? Funniest book ever.
It was legitimately the greatest book that's ever been written, and I've written four, and you surpassed all of them in one swipe of the pen.
One fail swoop. You know, it's something about my hands and arms that are magical. I can write like a motherfucker. I can play skee ball. I'm the best at that.
I don't.
There's a lot of things.
You're such a fag.
There's a lot of things, but this is our sign off. This
it
is for Matt Best. For Rocco, for JT, and then my right arm, which is given gifts to so many around
Leo
the world.
Leo Jenkins.
And Leo Jenkins. Thanks for joining us, kids.
We love you guys.
We appreciate it. And by the way, go to tug.com, T-U-G-G.com, and buy some Range 15 tickets. It is in theaters everywhere across the nation on June 15th. Oh. Buy some tickets to see the movie that is curing cancer.
And one last thing to leave it, don't be such an asshole in life. Enjoy.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
D-B-A-D.
Hey, listen, life's not a dick. Don't take it so hard. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah,
good night, everyone.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.